Welcome to Church Ahead, the weekly Christian podcast talking about big questions facing the future of church with Rev L, all the way from the north of England. Episode 91, Resurrection Ignored. Brothers and sisters, I need to warn you that I may not still be here right up to the end of this episode. Now, that's not because these Lent episodes are so long that even I fall asleep, but the opposite. What if the rapture comes? Ping! I'll be whisked up to glory. I would hope some of you might join me too. I wouldn't want you to be one of the left behind. Many fundamentalist Christians have long worked out that if you're going to ride on a bus, you'd be better off with a non-Christian driver in case the rapture comes and ping, the driver's gone, especially if you're not too sure of your own eternal destiny. We're coming towards the end of our Lent 24 series about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've looked at what the resurrection does for our picture of Jesus and for God, and it's time now to consider what the resurrection does for us. What is the cash value of resurrection for ordinary people living and dying today? What does this big, bold idea actually mean for us who try to live by it? How does the resurrection of Jesus shape the church experience of life? And don't forget Maria, the bus passenger on her way to work in Dallas today, having heard the terrible news of her mother's death. Will her faith in resurrection help her to get through today? We'll find out at the end of this episode. We've said that resurrection has a big effect on our picture of Jesus, and it really does change our picture of God. So how much difference does resurrection make to us? Not much. By and large, we don't take much notice of resurrection. We know it's in our hymns and prayer books, but we live our lives in and out of church, paying very little attention to resurrection. There's a huge gulf between official Christianity and popular religion. Official church has always talked a lot about resurrection. Arguably, resurrection topped the list in the competition for what church said was the most important thing about Jesus for the first few centuries. Even after the cross came into pole position round about 800, the resurrection never slipped very far down the list. Very brave clergy might question the historicity of the resurrection, but today I've never heard an ordained clergyman question whether it's anything other than one of the foundational claims of Christianity. It was at the end of 2017 that BBC Radio 4 was broadcast one morning from Lambeth Palace, the home of the Archbishop of Canterbury. Justin Welby got the inevitable presenters grilling about the Church of England's decline. The poor man had to voice a message of confidence on behalf of his troubled organisation. He played a straight bat and he said this: "I am confident in the future of this church because I believe in a God who raised Jesus from the dead." End of quote. Now, leave aside the implied acknowledgement that his club is dead, the consensus of official Christianity is that this belief sits alongside the cross at the very centre of this faith, radiating energy, confidence, and real spiritual power. That's official Christianity. Popular Christianity, however, has largely ignored the resurrection of Jesus. Christ is widely seen as either a baby at birth or a dying man. Rarely is he thought of as rising or risen. The resurrection of Jesus has never really captured the imagination of lay people or nominal Christians. The catalogue of any European art gallery will quickly show sight of countless Madonnas and scenes of crucifixion. Images of the resurrection story are few. There's a similar lack of resurrection in East European sacred art. Go into a Russian Orthodox church and you'll see fewer icons of crucifixion, but you won't find a corresponding increase in Icons of Resurrection. If church people have made little use of Jesus' resurrection, they've made even less use of the idea of their own future resurrection. For St. Paul, the point about Jesus' resurrection was that it led to ours, if we believe. The resurrection of one man leads to the general resurrection of all Christians at some point in the future. But general resurrection has taken even less root in popular Christianity, even less than the resurrection of Jesus. Despite the New Testament emphasis that salvation for believers takes the form of resurrection of the body, the church, on large, has fastened on to the more Greek idea of heaven. Christian people have ignored the teaching of St. Paul and the best efforts made by centuries of clergy to promote salvation in the form of resurrection of the body. These days, not all church folk believe in an afterlife of any kind, but for those that do, they've settled down with heaven as the version of salvation that they go for, which has got nothing to do with resurrection. Time now for some art. Eccentric 20th century English artist Stanley Spencer is one of the few notable exceptions. He was odd in all sorts of ways, not least because he was actually interested in resurrection. Numerous paintings of Cookham Churchyard portray the dead stumbling back to life in some sort of general resurrection, not in the far distant future, but in the present day, set in his own Thameside village. The figures are familiar villagers, including himself and his wife. There is a judgment of sorts separating the good people on one side of the churchyard from the bad on the other. But the point of difference is one of spiritual awareness. The good are the people who are aware of their blessings, whilst the bad are slower to comprehend. No one is sent to heaven or hell, but sees this world differently. His murals for the interior of Burklark Chapel portray the experience of First World War military hospital. The central panel shows a battlefield with men and mules fallen, echoing Giotto's more conventional Last Judgment of Christ. It's replaced by a couple of mules and a small Christ receiving crosses of soldiers that the soldiers bring to him. The older painting by Giotto, his imposing single cross, is replaced by a multitude of individual crosses which marked each man's grave. Very clearly a reference back to this world and the circumstances in which soldiers were dying. The mass of soldiers are not separated between good and bad. Christ shares the carnage of the battlefield. Spencer's biographer Kenneth Popple commented, "The resurrection is that moment we become one with the totality of creation." No one has done a better job of trying to draw spiritual value out of resurrection than Stanley Spencer. Although he believed no more in a literal resurrection than a literal personal God, he could see some of the creative potential in the idea. Resurrection is a metaphor for opening your eyes to the blessings of this world. It's about the value of the body in this place, in this life. And even as traditional religion declines, there's plenty of mileage in a vision of Christ suffering here with us, a Christ who is with us in death and whatever lies beyond. Of course, we do not really know what happens after death. But if we believe in God, we're probably going to imagine that in some sense, God is there and has got something to do with it. No one has used the raw material of resurrection better than Stanley Spencer to fire this imagination. He's even managed to decouple the general resurrection of humanity from the judgment of God. This is quite a contribution to rehabilitating resurrection in an era that no longer likes to think of God as waking us up in order to separate us out into the two piles of saved versus damned. For me, Stanley Spencer is a spiritual and theological genius whose achievement with the resurrection is deeply impressive. But he is an oddball. Few Christians have found much inspiration in these paintings. They are widely perceived as cartoons or caricature. Churchmen have been wary of them, realising they provide little vindication for traditional creedal Christianity. After nearly a century, no other major artist has gone with Spencer into this territory. His lead has not really been followed. Stanley Spencer's art underlines the fact that the resurrection is never going to be the stuff of popular mainstream religion. In the modern world, resurrection is an idiosyncrasy. We've had one Anglican archbishop today lionizing the resurrection. Now let's meet the other ignoring the resurrection. Stephen Cotterill, Archbishop of York today, is, you know from my profile on him, in my view, a wise spiritual guide. When Stephen Cotterill was Bishop of Chelmsford, in 2012, he published a popular Lent book called Christ in the Wilderness, reflecting on the paintings of Stanley Spencer. Having been junior bishop covering Cookham, whose senior bishop, Richard Harris, is also a great Spencer enthusiast, you can see how the publisher would think he was the man for the job. This little Lent book focuses on five paintings of a stout artisan-like Jesus looking at lilies, scorpions, foxes, hens, all after waking up in the wilderness. Bringing these intriguing paintings to life for modern church people is not so difficult because the portrayal of Jesus is very human. Wisely, the artist's painting of resurrection is confined to just one sentence. The only thing Stephen Cotterill's got to say about the resurrection paintings is that you can usually find them in the Tate Britain Gallery. You would be forgiven for thinking that Jesus' 40 days of wilderness was the artist's major preoccupation rather than resurrection. But resurrection was a much bigger theme in the work of this artist. Stephen Cotterill has got nothing to say about this, nor, as far as I can see, have many other churchmen. No bishop has written a little devotional book for Easter about Spencer's resurrection paintings. If there were a Church of England bishop brave enough to tackle this more difficult subject, then I predict the daring publisher would not see many sales. Orthodox clergy have to proclaim resurrection, but rarely do they dwell on the subject. Not even the brilliance of Stanley Spencer can tempt them into this territory for more than a few seconds it takes to say the empty words, "I believe in the resurrection of the dead." There is a widespread long-term consensus amongst Christians that resurrection is not really for them. Let's hear from a couple of contemporary traditional theologians. Canon Paula Gooder despairs about 21st century Christians' indifference towards their own resurrection. Following St. Paul in pointing out the inconsistency of Christians who believe in a resurrection for Jesus, but not for themselves. She's not alone amongst modern conservative theologians. Alongside Tom Wright, she bemoans how far the church has drifted from the way the New Testament portrays resurrection as the form of salvation to come. These prominent Anglican scholars would like to drag the church back to resurrection-shaped salvation. What I would say to Tom and Paula is good luck with that. For many centuries now, resurrection has been slipping away. Around 100 years ago, we see a further step away from a worldview based on resurrection. Mainstream Christian society more openly disregarded resurrection. In the First World War, there was an important turning point in how death is commemorated. War graves were notably less sentimental than Victorian graves only a generation earlier. They're notable for the lack of consciously Christian hope in general and resurrection in particular. If any reference to Jesus' life is made, it will inevitably be a reference to his death. Death alone without any talk of resurrection. In early 20th century civilian life, spiritualism became popular, encouraging people to think they could have direct contact with the dead, who are spirits, who we can talk to right now rather than bodies waiting for resurrection. burial of corpses in cemeteries gave way to cremation by incineration. Church officials, and especially the Roman Catholics, condemned the practice as undermining faith in the resurrection of the body. Why would you burn your body if you're waiting patiently for the resurrection to come? But the reality was that Christians were no longer looking forward to any kind of resurrection. Cremations continued their numerical rise over and above burial throughout the 20th century. In the end, clergy had to accept cremation and accept that resurrection was not a very meaningful hope to very many people. You know, Church Ahead is interested in Christianity in the Western world. But let's finish today looking at a very non-Western country. Indonesia has embraced Christianity, providing a fascinating insight into the way the faith affects the practices of death and dying in that society. There was there an ancient tradition of keeping dead family members in the home for many years after death. Their bodies would be preserved as best they could, and the corpse would continue to sit at the meal table for many years after the time of death. But when Christianity became the majority religion, this practice declined. The version of Christianity brought by the missionaries emphasized that the soul goes to heaven at the point of death. The dead body, therefore, counts for very little, and their ancient tradition was seen now as un-Christian. Modern Christianity has very little time for resurrection of the body. Given the very strong biblical credentials of resurrection and support from creeds and councils and 20 centuries of clergy reinforcement, it's remarkable how small a role resurrection plays in the lives of Christians today. So next week, we're going to ask, what's wrong with resurrection? Why has it failed so badly to win the hearts and minds of Christian people? But before we finish today, we've just got to ask how Maria is. Maria's just getting off the bus in Dallas, Texas, ready to go to work as a waitress. She doesn't look too bad, actually. Let me just have a quick word with her. Maria, we've been thinking of you because we know how hard today must be for you. Thank you, Revel. I'm fine. I'm just off to work now. Can I just ask you, Maria, what was it that made the difference that's really helped you today? Was it our Lord's resurrection that made the difference? Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, but no. What made the difference was all the text messages of support from my church friends. Must go now. Bye. Thank you for listening to episode 91. I'm glad Maria's all right. Next week, we come to the end of our resurrection series as we try to get to the bottom of why resurrection has failed to capture the hearts of Christian people.